Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather together as your people to worship you this morning. We come with hearts full of gratitude for what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, that you have redeemed us to yourself. Lord, as we come, we also come with an openness and an eagerness to hear you speaking to us today. Do that now through your word in such a way that we would be encouraged and that we would be equipped to serve you faithfully throughout all of our lives. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, a number of years ago, I read about an interview conducted with one of the astronauts who had actually walked on the moon. During the interview, one of the questions asked was, "What did you think about as you stood on the moon and looked back at Earth?" His response was surprising as the astronaut replied, "I remembered how the spacecraft was built by the lowest bidder." It's an interesting thought in that moment, isn't it? Put yourself in his position. There's the vast distance between where you are standing and the place that is your true home. The only way you can get home is a spacecraft built by others. You probably would not be excited about the prospect that that thing was made as cheaply as possible. Especially in that context, you would want it to be perfect, whatever the cost, don't you think? Well, as Christians, we take comfort in the fact that the work of salvation was not done by the lowest bidder, but was designed and performed by our infinite God. Our current series on the perfection of Jesus has highlighted the unique person and work of Jesus to provide for our salvation. Working our way through the letter to the Hebrews, we've been presented with Jesus as the perfect Son, the perfect understanding, the perfect High Priest, the perfect Savior, and the perfect sacrifice. Well, today's second lesson includes a restatement of the uniqueness of Jesus and what he's done for us, reinforcing some of the key aspects we have already heard throughout our series. That he has entered not a copy, but the real place of heaven itself. That the impact of his work is not temporary, but permanent and still effective. That his offering was not with animal blood, but with himself, his own blood shed on the cross. It was not needing to be repeated, but once for all as completely sufficient. It was not in secret, but made known to the whole world, calling for our response. The why of what Jesus has done is addressed in our opening verse this morning. Verse 24, we read, "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself." Why? Here it comes. Now to appear in the presence of God for us. This adds another facet to the composite picture of his perfection, showing Jesus to be the perfect mediator. A mediator being like a go-between with two people or groups who are at odds with each other and can't work it out on their own. The distance of estrangement is too great for them to overcome. The mediator serves to travel the distance between the two, to intervene in such a way that brings them back together. Jesus serves as the mediator between us and God in prophetic, priestly, and kingly ways. Today's focus is on the priestly manner of Jesus as our perfect mediator, addressing our need and securing the promise. In the course of life in this world, we all have the opportunity to choose God or not God. verse 27, thinking, kind of addressing that whole context, it mentions, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. It's a reminder, each and every person has the option set before us. For some, it is through the general revelation of creation and the evidence of God's power and wisdom seen every day. For some, it is with greater clarity and explanation through the benefit of specific revelation found in the scriptures and passed on from one generation to another. Either way, as the Apostle Paul pointed out, we are without excuse. How we choose and the extent that we live out that choice is something that will be evaluated by God. The actual word used, you heard it, judgment. I know, that makes us squirm. That's a word we don't care much about. But there it is, right in front of us. Fact is, on our own, each and every person would stand before God guilty as charged. That is because each and every one of us has turned away from God to one extent or another. That is the human condition of sin, resulting in alienation, estrangement, separation from God. A distance we can never bridge on our own, meaning we need the help of a mediator. Enter Jesus, offering himself to be the bridge spanning that gap between us and God, which was the result of our own turning away from God. Our need for a mediator is not because God is grumpy about our disobedience and needs to be convinced it's not all that bad after all. Our need for a mediator has to do with God's holiness and justice, which does not simply wink at human sin. The provision of Jesus as our mediator, demonstrating God's love and mercy and grace, without which we would be lost forever. Seated at the right hand of the Father, the crucified, risen, exalted Christ serves as our continual mediator. His presence there makes it possible for us to come into God's presence, to live now in that restored relationship with God. Which still leaves us with a choice. Do we put our trust in Jesus and what he has done for us or not? By receiving the gracious gift of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ, the alienation is overcome. The estrangement is healed. The separation is bridged. Through the mediating work of Jesus, we are brought back into relationship with God. We are secure in him as God's beloved children, living in fellowship with him, knowing his presence with us, invigorating our worship and service for him. All of that bringing us to the point of understanding the key aspect of God's judgment will involve our personal response to Jesus. Apart from him, we are lost. Trusting in him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and we are reconciled with God. Along with the realities of new life in Christ here and now, we also have the promise that Jesus will come again in order to gather each and all of us as believers to our eternal home. Verse 28, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation without reference to sin to those who eagerly await him. What's this talking about? Again, this reinforces what has already been said about Jesus offering himself as our mediator. That has been accomplished. It is finished. But this also looks forward to Jesus coming again. As we say in our worship, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ. not to deal with sin again, but for a different reason. He will come to bring the consummation of the salvation he has won for us. He will come to bring all his disciples, those who eagerly await him, to their eternal home. Our adult class over the past 7 weeks, speaking of heaven, has explored this in more detail. It was Jesus himself who more than once spoke of the day when he would come again with power and great glory, adding the encouragement for believers, when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. The hope in Christ, which filled the Apostle Paul with eager anticipation, as in writing to Titus, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men and women, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." The now reality, bolstered by the promise of the eternal reality for all those who trust in Jesus. Knowing Jesus as our perfect mediator gives us that same kind of eager anticipation for eternity, which infuses us with freedom to live as his faithful witnesses today. That is true for Leah Sharibu, the 15-year-old Nigerian girl we heard about last week. And it is true for you, and it is true for me. For example, rather than begrudging it as a burden, we are joyful for the opportunity to buy cans of cream of mushroom soup for Project Outreach, because we know God has provided us with the resources to serve those in need. For example, rather than resenting it as an intrusion, we welcome the opportunity to accompany an anxious friend to the hospital, because we know the peace that passes human understanding comes from the one who accompanies us all the time. For example, rather than fearing the potential of ridicule or rejection, we welcome the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a searching soul that they might come to know him. Because we know we are ultimately and eternally secure in him as our Savior, the perfect mediator between us and God. You see, knowing the promise changes a whole perspective on how we live today. Standing on the moon, looking back at Earth, has to be both an awesome and an unnerving thing. I mean, the simplest little glitch may mean you would never make it back home. Imagine just one person building the spacecraft deciding not to tighten that bolt any further because they wanted to get home for dinner. Some critical component may fall apart and you'd never get home. Imagine your cell phone battery running out of charge. You wouldn't be able to pull up Google Maps to get directions. Imagine just dropping the keys to the spacecraft in the moon dust. You'd never be able to find them. Trusting in Jesus as the perfect mediator, we no longer need to fear the vast distance between us and God resulting from our sin. That's because Jesus has wiped away our sin. He has given himself to be the offering to overcome our alienation, to heal our estrangement, to be the bridge across that vast separation. And his perfect work of mediation on our behalf is guaranteed by God as sufficient forever. That's why Jesus is our better hope, through whom we draw near to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for what you have done for us through your Son, Jesus. Because he gave himself on the cross, our sin has been dealt with. Our separation from you has been addressed. And you have done that as a gift of love to each and every person. Father, help us to more fully embrace that gift so that we might know what it means to live in relationship with you each and every moment of each and every day, and to be able to live with confidence that one day we will be home with you forever. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.